bad boy.
Hello.
Hi, listeners.
We're back.
We are back.
Back in the saddle. Better than ever.
Back again with another episode of Hot Fire.
Hot Fire, yeah.
Have you been following, we're batch recording again, so this is going to feel so out of date by the time you guys actually hear this, but have you been following on TikTok the, like, couple, and her name is Campbell, and her husband's name is Jet, and he just loves her very much, and they do fit checks, and she's like, outfit of the day, and he's Southern, and he's like, Pookie is looking fire today in her outfit.
Oh my god!
I would die for him.
Oh my god, that sounds adorable.
I mean, by the time this plays, they could be totally canceled, and if so, sorry you guys, I didn't know that.
They could be divorced by now.
But I love their energy. Is so I'll have to show you 18 of their TikToks later.
That's adorable. I love cute couples on TikTok.
And I gotta say, my Pookie also looking absolutely fire today. Allie, it's an Allie episode, and I can't wait to hear.
That's me? Yes. I get to be that?
You're Pookie.
And you don't call your husband that?
I... Long story, I did once call my husband Pookie, but not...
Once, like at one point in time, or one singular time?
At one point in time, before we were together romantically.
Wait a minute. What?
Yes.
What? Wait a minute. In what context?
This is some deep lore, actually. So
I don't even think I knew this.
This is deep lore. So my husband and I went to high school together, fun fact. And we would sit on the bus together, on the afternoon bus in 10th grade. And that's when I developed this big crush on him, is when we would sit next to each other on the bus. So I got invited. This is such deep lore. I will cut this out.
No, you can't cut it out. I need to know, and they need to know.
I got invited to all of my friends that year. We were all turning, like, 15. I got invited to a, like, themed murder mystery birthday party for one of my friends. And she gave me the invitation to school. So I was on the bus, and I was like, oh, I'm going to open. My friend just gave me this funny invitation. And the character I got was, like, a flapper-type person. And it said in the character description that she, like, called her husband Pookie. And we were joking and laughing. Again, we weren't dating at this point. We were just friends. But we were joking and laughing about, like, what a silly name Pookie was to call your significant other. And I was like, oh, my God, like, I'm going to call you Pookie. I had the biggest crush on him at this point. So I'm just trying to,
you were, like desperate to start connecting the synapses in his brain. Like, love me.
Yes. So
choose
for, like,
me. Pick me.
Pick me. So for, like, that whole year, like, jokingly between us, I was calling him Pookie before we ever got together. And I called him that, like, in front of his mom, and his mom was like, what? And
it
was
what, like, the fuck?
And then we started dating, and I never, ever called him it again. It, like,
then
was not...
any sort of legitimacy lended to Pookie, immediately you're like, oh.
Yeah, for us, it wasn't right. It was not right for us.
Actually, I don't want to yuck anyone's yum, if that's what you call your significant other.
Yeah, I call him a ton of stupid things. We usually call each other Bug, which is short for Snuggle Bug. So, I mean, that's
short for Snugglebug.
That's just as embarrassing as Pookie. It just fits us a little better.
I think we just do random, like, robot sounds. Like, it's either, like, shmeep, meep, boop. Like, it's just, like, weird. Ugh, now I feel this is too intimate.
Too intimate.
To be sharing.
Yeah, apologies for the deep lore and the intimate start of this week's episode.
I know,
guys.
We're really bringing you right in. And you know what? I don't have a transition for this.
I was going to say, and we'll go even deeper into the lore
into
of...
Into the lore of... today, I'm going to talk about dance marathons.
Ooh!
I'm really excited to talk about this, because this is the kind of thing where I knew of it slightly, and then I thought to do it for an episode, and I was like, I bet this got fucking batshit out of hand, didn't it? And it did. It really did. So that totally delivered for me on what I need out of a podcast topic. So I'm glad to share it with you.
I'm so excited. I know so little about dance marathons, and what I do know, I've mostly learned from sitcoms. So
yes, exactly. My main understanding of a dance marathon came from an episode of Gilmore Girls.
Me too.
A great episode of Gilmore Girls, if I may. I literally just want to talk about that episode of Gilmore Girls. I won't.
More deep lore.
We can watch it later. I won't. It's fine. But yeah, dance marathons on I'm Horrified. What's horrifying about dancing? What kind of footloose bullshit is this, right? It sounds fun. It sounds like you just dance for a long time. What's the problem?
Sounds great for everyone.
What's the problem, Allie? Well, the history of dance marathons, I don't have a ton of ground to cover. It's not too far back. It really starts around the early 1920s. A lot of people believe it stemmed from the revival of the modern Olympic Games. Like people were becoming, like the Olympics came back and people were becoming more fascinated by like human endurance and possibilities of achievement by the human body and like pushing your limits. And it also spurred an interest in the idea of, like, world records. Like, that was sort of entering the public consciousness. I actually didn't think about when the Olympic Games started. I was told in Olympus? Where does it start? I sound dumb.
I think
now.
Olympus is just the domain of the gods. I don't know that it's a real
Olympus,
place.
Yeah, Mount Olympus is where the gods are. Where did they run to?
I don't know. I know Marathon's named after, is it named after a guy?
That's what I'm thinking of.
Marathon's like a dude
I'm
or
thinking
a place.
They ran to Marathon. There were people screaming it into their iPhones right now.
If you're a Greek historian, email us.
Whatever.
Honestly, if you're a Greek historian, do email us, because I love learning about ancient Greece.
I would love to learn more about it, and I clearly need to. But yeah, so like, I thought that like the old Olympic Games were in like ancient Greece, and I thought we were just doing them.
Yeah, me too.
And I guess I never thought, like, stopped to be like, well, who was doing them? Like, when were we doing them in the 1700s?
I guess it makes sense that they fell out of fashion for a while. It's like Doctor Who. It took a few years off, and then
Amen.
It came back.
Amen, brother. So they came back in earnest in 1896, and they've lasted this long. I wonder when we'll give up again and just be like, this, it's not worth it right now.
Yeah. I mean, World War III is pretty soon, so once that hits, we'll take a few years off.
And oh, yeah, we'll for sure. That's actually not totally inaccurate with how this is going to play out.
Oh, no!
So in addition to dance marathons, there were lots of weird contests happening. Like, people would just do shit, like, the craziest shit, and be like, will you pay me money for this? And people would be like, yeah, sort of. So there would be, like, eating contests, gum chewing contests, kissing contests.
Sexy.
Flagpole sitting contests. No.
I'm only familiar with the hit song Flagpole Sitta. I did not know that there were actual contests.
People were doing that. Some guy up to like 13 hours, he sat on top of a flagpole. Which, how? And why?
It's hot.
This is also around the time when like the Miss America pageant started. I get the sense that the 1920s was kind of like the early 2000s when we first got the internet. And everyone was like texting each other like, hey, you want to see some crazy shit? Like, you want to see something fucked up? And everyone would be like, yeah, send it to me. And that's kind of where we were, it seems like, in the 1920s. So this is from JSTOR. Quote, to be sure, this all started as a novelty and was of a piece with other entertainments for folks seeking something, anything, entertaining in the 1920s and 1930s. One 1931 article mentions other so-called fatigue contests ranging from the simply strange to the plainly dangerous, including tree sitting, rolling peanuts along a country road with the nose.
That sounds like a blast.
Driving automobiles with the hands tied. We're going off the rails a little bit now.
Are you driving with your titties?
I don't know,
Sam. Your feet?
Walking contests. Also, that feels fine.
Walking contests, maybe I could nail.
Roller skating contests. No talking contests. Talking demonstrations. So I guess talking contests.
Oh, my.
And marathons, fishing marathons, and the like.
That reminds me of, have you seen clips from, this is going to sound so dismissive, and I genuinely don't mean it. In some area of, like, the Midwest or the South, they still do, like, husband calling contests, where it's just a woman, like, what? Calling for her husband in, like, sustained ways. So it's, like, just, like, someone, I'm leaning away from my microphone, just being like, Albert!
Oh, my God.
And, incredible. Like, just their different, like, husbands' names, and they compete to see who calls their husband the best.
That sounds fun. We should bring that back.
Let's bring it back.
We're
wasps, though, so when we call for our husbands, it's much more demure but angrier.
It's demure but demeaning.
Yeah.
Chris, get over here. Right now.
It's like when your dog's nose isn't something it shouldn't
exactly.
be.
Exactly. Stop it.
Stop that.
Stop that.
Oh, my God.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Making a fool of me at this banquet.
You're a bad boy.
This is all sort of par for the course, I think. All of this was happening. So specifically, we get into one lady who danced for 27 hours straight in 1923. So this was like a big to-do. She was like, I'm going to do this thing. She was like I think she was kind of famous at the time. Like, she was like a really popular dancer. and she dances for 27 hours straight with 6 different partners. She wears out 6 guys during this whole thing.
Hell yeah.
And it made a bunch of papers. And so then a bunch of other people were reading it in the paper, like, 27 hours, that's nothing. And so her record got, I know, I'm like, that's too much.
That's I would read that in the paper and be like, man, I hope she's okay.
Sit down. I hope she's sitting down.
And then I'd go about my day.
Yeah. But her record got subsequently broken, like, a bunch of times in a row because people were like, well, I could do longer than that. And that kind of added to the dance marathon craze.
I guess before you had a phone, maybe you could dance for 27 hours. Now I'm like, well, I could just sit down and scroll for 27 hours. Easy.
I don't think I can do anything for 27 hours. I'm shocked that I can breathe for 27 hours. I don't think that I'm capable of sustaining my attention for that long. But let's not, like, what's a dance marathon? Like, what is it, actually? What are we going to see? Well, the idea is you dance.
You know what? Fair enough.
Yep, that's right. You dance for quite some time, and you have to keep your knees above the floor, basically. That's what they consider dancing. If your knees are above the floor,
okay,
then you're in. You could just shuffle around. It's not really about quality so much as quantity of hours.
And famously, when you're doing art, it is quantity over quality.
I've always thought so. But yeah, if your knees hit the floor, you're disqualified.
But what if you're doing a dramatic, like, slide? Like, what if you're sliding
maybe
on your
knees?
Maybe
that's okay.
If you're being very dynamic with your arms, maybe it's allowed.
If you look sexy while you're doing it, if you're not, like, falling to the ground like a corpse, which I think a lot of people would do.
If you're Danny Zuko.
Yeah, I feel like maybe they'd be okay with it in that case. I guess you'd have to talk to a dance marathon judge. Do we have any? Do we have any in the audience?
Can you email us, please?
So typically, you would get 15 minutes of rest every hour. So like you dance for 45 minutes and then you 15 minutes of rest and then you dance again. You just keep going like that. There was no like hour long break after.
That's crazy.
You know, it was just 15 minutes at a time.
You can only drink snacks.
Yeah. It was just snacks and water, I guess. And some dancers train themselves to like fall asleep immediately so they could rest more efficiently. And they would have like cots available and like cover their eyes with a towel and be like, go to sleep. Go to sleep right now. All right, get back up. It's time to dance.
The image of someone like actively doing a Charleston, immediately
diving into a bed
and then immediately waking back up to Charleston.
It's crazy.
Really 1920s coded.
It's super 1920s.
It's really there's Coke in the Coca-Cola coded.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That energy. Sometimes they would wheel the cots out on stage and people would watch them sleep as well as dance.
Now a sleep marathon.
Oh, a sleep marathon?
That's something I could excel in.
I'm taking home the gold, baby.
The world's most exciting podcast, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
I'm Michael Savage, host of the Savage Nation podcast, home of borders, language, and culture. Hear my new podcast each week as I speak with top guests from around the world. Right now, we have over 700 shows in our library featuring interviews with world leaders, scientists, faith teachers, and more, including President Donald Trump, Prime Minister of Israel, Ehud Barak, Edward Teller, the father of the hydrogen bomb, Jerry Falwell, and so much more. Conversations and commentary you cannot find anywhere else. Other guests have included Samuel Cohen, the father of the neutron bomb, Breitbart's Alex Marlowe, the great author Peter Schweitzer, Colonel Douglas McGregor. Be here or be nowhere. The Savage Nation podcast. Catch the Michael Savage podcast on all podcast platforms every Tuesday and every Friday.
Yeah, so that's weird to me that you would like want, there would be a whole period of like eating popcorn and watching these people sleep, but that was like part of it. It gets weird. It just gets weirder and weirder. But so sometimes like they wouldn't wake up at the starting horn and you'd have to like slap the contestants or like use smelling salts and be like, get up, Alma.
It's time to dance.
And contestants would do all manner of activities while dancing, such as eating, shaving, reading the newspaper, really whatever you can think of. And I think it was sort of like a gimmick, like, what are you going to do like while you're dancing? And people would try to do like crazy things while they were dancing.
Interesting.
And I think at the beginning it was fun.
I mean, if the beginning is 27 hours, it's already a little bit wacko.
I mean, that's not fun for me.
No.
but I think it was, like, jovial.
Fair enough. Least.
And that's going to take a little bit of a turn. So, but the dance marathons, even at the beginning, were always going to last, like, at least 12 to 24 hours, even, like, the sort of normal ones, and often much longer than that. But there were different levels of crowds from daytime to nighttime, so it'd be going on the whole day, like, including at, like, 3 in the morning. So there would be periods of, like, not that many people, and then there'd be huge rowdy periods when there would be, like, a live band. They'd bring in comedians and floor acts in addition to the dancers. There were, like, definitely dance marathon personalities. People who were famous in the scene would be, like, cheered for. You would have your favorite couple who you were cheering for. And there was a lot on the line because there were prizes. You could make hundreds of dollars, or even in some rare cases, thousands of dollars. And that's in 1920s money. That's a lot of money.
That is impressive.
Yeah, there was sort of, it was all happening. You know what I mean? There was like entertainment and rowdiness, and it was lively, and it was just kind of like the place to be, right? There was definitely a, how shall I put this? Lascivious connotation.
Ooh,
with dance marathons.
Like she can dance all night.
And she can. Yeah, I think that's, I guess that's the idea. Like, in the 1920s, like, fast dancing between unmarried partners in public was, like, very new. That was not something that had happened very much.
Interesting.
So, even just dancing together, like, a bunch of young people dancing, like, to jazz music especially, like, this was, that's seen as scandalous already. Wow. And it's, like, a product of the sexually liberated flapper era. And so the flappers have a bad reputation among the morally upstanding, I suppose. And so naturally, as time wore on, like, partners who were dancing in the dance marathons would be, like, hanging on each other, you know? And you'd be, like, falling asleep on each other. And it was just, the whole thing was seen by some as just very inappropriate, very tawdry. But it doesn't matter, because it was incredibly popular.
Yeah. I would think it'd be good, because you would know that they're too tired to fuck when they get home.
Too tired to fuck. Amen.
Like, they'd be like, don't even touch me as soon as you're out of there.
I want to be alone for the next 80 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want anyone to speak to me. I definitely don't want anyone to touch me. Dance marathon as birth control. Let's talk about it.
Ooh, intriguing. Intriguing idea.
Intriguing. Let's workshop it.
Condoms are only 97% effective, you guys.
Dance marathons, on the other hand. So yeah, at its height, being that, like, being as popular as it was, there was a dance marathon held in every major American city.
Wow.
Everywhere. And some producers would take tours into smaller American towns to find, like, untapped markets. This was happening everywhere. The people wanted to dance. The people wanted to dance.
They had to.
But did the people want to dance, Sam?
Oh, God. I would assume. I mean, I was about to be like, what, someone's got a gun to your head making you sign up for a dance marathon? But does someone have a gun to your head making you sign up for a dance marathon?
I mean, I guess no. But so let's think about this. It began in the 1920s as like a novelty fad, as was popular. Can we remember anything that happened near the end of the 1920s? That may have thrown sort of an interesting financial wrench into the dance marathon craze.
I heard there was a pretty great depression going on.
A pretty awesome lit depression.
When you finally leave your house to go to the grocery store and you're like, this is actually a great depression.
This is a great depression. When you use your time on your depressed person bed rotting time to learn a new skill on YouTube.
Yeah,
this is a great depression.
This is a pretty great depression.
Yes. I'm going to quote from Atlas Obscura. Quote, when the stock market crashed in October 1929, the economic misery of rural America spread to the cities. Dance marathons exploded. They had a large pool of willing, desperate contestants, and they made everyone else feel a little better about themselves. Yikes. The spectacles gave hard-up onlookers the rare opportunity to feel superior, which fueled the popularity of the contests as the Depression bore on. For some audiences, seeing others who were worse off was a balm to their own precarious circumstances. The conditions may have been rough and pitiful for the dancers, but the alternative, boredom, hunger, and homelessness, was worse.
So it was literally like, well, at least I don't have to dance for 27 fucking hours.
Yeah,
like,
that literally. That was the vibe. Or you were a participant and you were like, I have to dance for 27 fucking hours so I can eat.
Yikes. That's not a cute little hobby at all.
No, it's not cute. It's not cute. So yeah, it was like basically the Great Depression was the perfect catalyst for dance marathons because it was easy to sell because everyone was looking for cheap entertainment, right? Mm-hmm. It was a big competitor to movie theaters. Like movie theaters did not like dance marathons because people weren't going to the movies because you could, you know, just go to the dance marathon and it could be cheaper or you get longer out of it. And then it was easy to find participants because everyone was also looking for food.
Oh my God.
You know, and sometimes just shelter. Like, if you were in a dance marathon, you at least got to be inside. And so contestants could be fed as often as, like, 12 times a day. Like, you'd get regular meals and water and everything.
Oh my God.
And even with all the dancing they were doing, some people, like, managed to actually put weight on because they were finally had access to food. And this is a time when people were actively starving.
Oh my God. I feel so bad for making fun of them sleeping.
I know.
It's like, yes,
how dare
please.
You sleep? Get up.
And meanwhile, they were like a cot as opposed to a burlap sack on the floor. Absolutely.
I know. It's rough. And like even the spectators, a lot of the spectators, many of them would show up just for the opportunity to be inside and warm as well.
Oh my God.
It was usually like 25 to 50 cents for admission. And you could stay as long as you wanted to, which seems crazy as a business idea. But some people would just, like, set up shop and eat popcorn and watch people suffer. And there were worse ways to spend a Saturday back then, frankly.
Fair enough.
And there were lots of jobs to be had when it comes to dance marathons. Like, if a dance marathon popped up in your town, you know, not just the contestants competing for prize money, but there were judges, MCs, concessionists, you could sell stuff, you could sell food, nurses. A lot of vaudeville actors who were put out of work could sneak in, like, a skit or two. It was a great opportunity for performers.
Interesting.
But, you know, it started taking on, like, an increasingly grim atmosphere mm-hmm. and an increasingly sort of sad aesthetic. This is from JSTOR. Quote, "Gone was the simple dance till you drop concept held over a day or so. The grandest of Depression-era dance marathons could last weeks or even months."
What?
"With complicated rules and requirements that stretched out the action as long as possible. Couples would dance specified steps at certain times, but for the bulk of the action, they simply had to be in constant motion with standing meals, cot nights," which I think was sometimes they would just sleep and people would watch them sleep, "or breaks each hour for rest and necessities. Dancing was often an overstatement. Exhausted participants simply shuffled or shifted their weight and held up their tired, boneless partners to keep their knees from touching the floor.
Oh my God.
Surprise elimination challenges could find the dancers having to run sprints, engage in field day contests like heel-toe races, or dance while tied together." So, like, during the dance marathon, they'd be like, all right, we've got a twist.
Oh no.
Which is like the Hunger Games. Literally, yeah. The Hunger Games. I didn't realize. Literally.
That's crazy.
Judges and MCs whipped up the crowd and the contestants and were not above flicking a wet towel at a flagging contestant or dousing someone in ice water if they didn't rouse from nap time fast enough.
Oh my God.
Prize money could exceed a typical American's annual income.
Yikes. So that's why you fucking do it.
That's why you do it.
Ugh.
But so now what began as a jovial novelty fad has become a gladiator-style spectacle of human misery.
Yeah.
Why do we as human beings always have to take things so goddamn far?
We really do.
You know, like, we just... we can't just dance for a while and then have a good laugh about it. Like, we have to start exploiting people at some point. Like, we just have to.
Yeah.
We can't not. Is it an American thing? I think it's just like a human thing. But yeah, as time went on, like the producers and MCs, like they had to keep upping the ante. Like if last week the marathon winners lasted 50 hours, well, this week they have to last 70. If last week we made them sprint in the middle of it, this year, like this week we have to make them sprint tied together or, you know, crawl or I don't know. Like it was just this sort of crazy race to the bottom for respectability.
Yeah, it's reminding me of, like, reality competition shows that, like, I'm thinking about, like, the millions of seasons of, like, Survivor. Like, eventually they mix it up and it's like, now there's Exile Island. Now there's Hidden Immunity. Like, now there's...
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, maybe we'll cover this at some point. A lot of people do reality shows and stuff like that, especially ones that are, like, particularly demeaning, for money, for either the appearance fee or the prize money for things like medical bills, because we live in a nightmare.
So true.
A nightmare world, if you will. So as you can imagine, the audience would often get rowdy and belligerent. Like, you're 25 cents in, you've been there for 8 hours, you're hammered drunk.
Yeah, that's real.
Fights are breaking out. One time someone fell off a balcony into the dance floor.
Oh my God.
Woo! Yeah. There were also, this is the worst. This is the worst of everything I read. There were accounts of spectators throwing pennies into the crowd of dancers.
Oh my God.
And, like, watching them fight over pennies.
Oh my God. And then that's even more fucked up, because to pick up the penny, you had to risk your knees hitting the floor.
I didn't even think about that, Sam.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Just good old-fashioned American entertainment, right? But when I say that, I really mean it.
Yeah. It's so fucked up.
It's so fucked up. So yeah, this all sounds great. and surely nothing really bad is going to result from this, because it all feels super safe. Dancers were often experiencing horrible injuries to their feet and legs, especially since sometimes judges would whack their legs with a ruler
if
they were, like, not dancing fast enough. And many people would pass out or simply, like, refuse to wake up from their micro nap.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it's the first micro nap where I'm out.
Yeah, we're asleep.
That micro nap would take me out so fast, like, the sweet release of lying down. I'd be like, I'm all good. You guys have at it. Good luck. And naturally, there were a few, like, genuine tragedies that happened towards the end of their popularity that contributed to the end of their popularity.
Oh, no.
This is from Guinness World Records. In April 1923, a 27-year-old man named Homer Morehouse tragically collapsed and died after dancing for 87 hours. This is a 27-year-old.
Oh, my God.
Dance marathons were immediately banned in Boston, and Los Angeles followed suit in the same year. And then in 1928, a woman from Seattle named Gladys Lenz attempted suicide shortly after she finished competing in a dance marathon. During the contest, she was punched in the jaw by her partner, who seemingly suffered from psychosis due to sleep deprivation.
Oh my God.
Gladys and her partner received just $50 after placing fifth, missing out on the grand prize of $1,000. Seattle banned dance marathons within the year, as did New Jersey.
Oh my God. So it's like good to hear that places start banning them, but it seems like it takes a horrific, tragic thing.
Yes,
it definitely. To be like, oh, maybe this is fucked up.
And I think they were sort of on the way out, if you will. Like, I think people were getting more and more like, I feel like we've had our fill of, you know, passive violence.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just wanted a different form of it. But at, like, the later on in the 1930s it got, I think people were like, yeah, we've had enough of this.
Yeah. We're already greatly depressed.
So things were sort of also, like, officially getting out of hand, and the town governments got their shit together and eventually were like, you have to stop. You can't be doing this. Especially because there would be a lot of, like, traffic in and out of the cities at night times and at weird times of day. And the local police and politicians wanted to shut that down. And so, yeah, like we were saying, the more out of hand the events became, the worse of reputation they received. And the sort of liberalism of the 1920s, the sort of progressive excitement of the 1920s, started wearing off fast as the Depression kind of came to lead culture more. And people became, I think, a little more austere and buttoned up and were sort of like moralizing the situation and sort of turning back to, all right, I'm gonna lead a pure and chaste lifestyle and then maybe my family will be able to eat, which is horrifying. But that it's kind of sort of put a really fast stopper in that, like, liberal flapper energy.
I'm just imagining, like, someone, like, at church, like, kind of not thinking much of it, and then, like, God's voice comes down to them and is like, Sarah, It's so fucked up that you watched people dance till they died last weekend.
Why did you throw those pennies at them,
yeah.
Jeremy?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
And it's like a little family in a pew, like, God?
Sorry.
Holy shit, you're right.
Sorry about that. And they should be sorry.
And they should
be. Mean. It's mean. And then also, like, it was a fad. Like, mm-hmm. 1920s had a lot of fads. And just, like, everything else, just, like, you know, dresses and hairstyles, like, it fell out of popularity.
Yeah.
They'd had enough of it. And so eventually, towards the end of the 1930s, the law caught up with that, and almost all major cities had banned them.
That's probably good.
These days, there are still dance marathons. They're almost entirely a thing of the past, but they do exist. Mainly in terms of, like charities will do them.
Yeah.
Universities will do them. And they'll, like, sponsor, like, shortened versions of it.
Yeah, I was
like
going to say.
Like, 12 hours
yeah,
or
like
something.
Yeah, overnight, we're going to dance all
overnight,
night.
Overnight, exactly. Like, the Gilmore Girls episode where they do it in Stars Hollow. Like, nobody died in that episode.
No. And the stakes weren't very high because, I mean, they lived in Connecticut.
Okay, well, the stakes were extremely high because Rory was experiencing some relationship strife with Dean.
Right,
and
sorry.
Honestly, if you don't know what I'm talking about,
right, sorry.
That's your fault and
sorry.
Not mine.
Right, sorry.
Sorry, I just got a little out of hand there.
A truth about me is that I have not watched that much Gilmore Girls. I've only ever watched, like, what was on.
You've watched me watch Gilmore
yeah.
Girls.
I've watched, like, what was in reruns on ABC Family occasionally if nothing else was on. But I do remember that there's a dance marathon episode. And I remember, because what I remember is at the end, it's like the mom and the daughter, and they're like kind of sadly holding each other as they sway.
Also, our good friends, Amy and Alexis, went as Lorelai and Rory in that episode for one Halloween when we were in college.
Slay.
Slay.
That's a good costume.
I'll get permission for them from them to put it on Twitter.
Need a break from the horrifying reality of real life? Well, do we have a sexy deal for you?
Go to adamandeve.com and use our special code HORROR for 50% off almost any item and free shipping. That's HORROR at checkout for 50% off and free shipping. Order now and get ready to...
But yeah, so like dance marathons now are not like a shocking revelry in human pain.
Yeah, they're not life or death.
Yeah, but so it's more of, like, a gimmick to raise money than it is for, like, the people to win money.
Yeah.
And Guinness World Records does still monitor dancing marathons. And as of July 2023, the record for the longest dance marathon by a pair belongs to Nepalese sisters Alicia and Rubisha Shrestha, who danced for 41 hours in May of 2019.
Wow.
And the longest dance marathon by an individual was achieved by 16-year-old Srushti Sudhir Jagtap, who danced for 127 hours in June of 2023.
Oh my god. It had to be a 16-year-old. Only a teenager would have that energy.
Wild. Yeah. And it's like maybe at like a homecoming dance, it's like your crush is over there and you're just like shredding on the dance floor.
You just gotta keep.
But as a 16-year-old, I'd do anything yes. to be cool. And
but not looking at them, but being like, are they looking at me?
Are they looking at me? Do they like my sick moves?
I'm not turning around, but are they looking at me?
Ooh, ooh. I have a lot of memories of just embarrassing myself at school dances.
Me too.
My fucking bubble hem dress. Did
oh,
you have
absolutely.
A bubble hem dress?
Absolutely, I did.
Of course you did. Women of the early 2000s.
It was the era.
So yeah, that's about it.
Oh my god, so, I know I've said it 8 times, but that's so fucked up.
It's so fucked up when you
oh
think
my
about
god.
It. Because at first you're like, oh, silly, like, a dance marathon, and then you're like, fuck, like,
oh,
that's so fucked up.
It really is.
It really is. Sam, I wonder, how long do you think you could last in a dance marathon?
I'm so tired at the end of weddings I attend.
Oh, same.
That I don't want to interact with people for 8 days. So that's what, maybe 3 hours of dancing?
3 hours of dancing. With breaks, too.
With plenty of breaks. Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'd last very long in a dance marathon. I don't even really like going out to clubs. I'm at that age now where, like, I want to sit down when I go out. Like, I'd love to have a fun beverage with my friends, but I want to be sitting while we do it.
I agree. I used to love going out dancing. That was, like, my favorite thing to do. And now, I just feel like there's not that many. There's just weddings. The
yeah.
only time you get to go out dancing is at weddings.
That's true.
So it's fun, and I look forward to it, but it's also like, oh my god, I'm exhausted.
Yes.
And also you're like dancing at a wedding for 3 hours and you're like, wow, I'm in bad shape.
Yeah.
But I think that if I like really planned it out and like just shuffled through it, like I didn't give it my all.
Yeah.
Dance wise.
You had to conserve energy.
I conserved energy. I think I could do it for like 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah, you could do that.
You know what I mean? Yes. Like just shuffling around, like, you know, maybe longer than that, like just standing.
Yeah,
and
making sure there's a little bit of
movement. You sit every 15 minutes and you're being fed.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine it's not that bad, especially with like a crowd there. And
yeah, they're hyping like, you up.
There's music and blah, blah, blah. But maybe I'm thinking way too highly of myself. Like I'm thinking of like basically just if you stand and as long as you're wiggling a little bit, like you're moving a little.
And that makes
you're
me think
still
of,
in the game, right?
For your job, you do a lot of childcare, and I can imagine, like, it's just like, imagine a baby's on your hip, and you're just kind of, moving side to side.
I have never been able to put a baby to sleep sitting down.
Yeah.
Any mother listening to this knows that. You gotta walk for hours.
So
sometimes.
You've actually got some secret experience of just, like, keeping a slight movement while you stand.
I also have great use of, like, moving just my hips and legs and my upper body if I'm holding a baby and they're finally asleep and I like lower myself into an armchair. But sometimes when I lower myself into that armchair, I get the like, and I'm like, fuck's sake. And I have to get up. And how do you think our husbands would do? Like if we were in a dance marathon with our husbands.
So Adam's very competitive. So I think
Adam is competitive.
I think if there was pride on the line, I think he would do pretty well. And he plays hockey still to this day. So aerobically, he's pretty good. You know what I mean? Like, he can be doing motion for a while.
Yeah.
So I think he would do pretty well.
He'd do pretty well.
I don't think he's breaking any records, but I think he could keep it up for a while if it was pride on the line. If I was just like, Adam, will you do this with me? I think he'd be like, why? Like, I don't know that it would.
Why are we doing this?
I don't know that it would pique his interest, but if I was like, I think some of the other husbands maybe are better than you, all of a sudden he'd be like, I'm in this.
Yeah. Like, you're like, who said what about me? I have to go defend my family. Yeah. Chris is wonderfully sturdy, and by that I mean he's very tall, and so if I'm exhausted, I will often just like sort of hang off of him like a coat on a rack.
That's, there you go.
And I think that would take us very far.
Mm-hmm.
He'd probably be annoyed by that. And we'd probably start like snipping at each other by hour 8. Like, you can't be in that close proximity with someone for that long. Yeah.
You guys would be out not because of your physicality, but because you'd be like, I need some space.
You know
for
what?
You.
I need space. But Sam, which 1920s novelty contest do you think we would win?
I mean, if there was a sleeping contest, I do think we'd nail it. I don't know that there was one, but I'm just imagining.
I think we could do a talking contest. What are we doing right now?
Amen, sister.
We could do. I think with you, I could talk consistently for how long do you think?
We've done it for 8 years.
We've done it for 8 years. With only a little bit of stopping. But like in college, apart from the times when we were asleep,
we were chatting.
When we were in each other's presence, we would be chatting.
Yeah, no question.
I think we could do upwards of like 10 hours.
I think so too. It would only be.
Maybe even more.
It would just be if we like got sleepy.
Yeah, it's like our stamina to keep like coherent words together.
Yeah.
I think that would be the issue.
I think the talking contest would be really successful for us.
But even so, I think we just get increasingly reckless and emotional about what we were talking about the more tired we would get, and then it would all just come out. And
that's
it's like,
true.
The thing about this is, you know, like I've always thought that this thing in my past or whatever, you know, I feel like we would just get increasingly unhinged.
Yeah.
But we'd keep going.
I'd be like, can I just say something?
Can you just say something? And we would also get to a point where we were just like, I love you so much.
You mean the world to
me. You mean the world to me? And you're my best friend. But yeah.
And we could do that for 12 hours.
I think alone I could get pretty far, but not as far as we would get together.
I think that's true. I think you're right.
And I think we should go find a, let's start one.
I mean, what is the world of podcasting if not a talking
if
contest?
If not a talk marathon, honestly.
Or
I'm sure
whatever they call them, talking displays, talking.
Well, people do that on YouTube sometimes. Like they'll do like a 24-hour live stream or something
I know,
for
those
charity.
Are crazy.
And it's insane to me, but Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. And if you can do it, and if it's for charity, that's awesome.
Yes.
But I think I would also, I think I'd lose my mind.
Yeah.
I don't think without sleep, I'd go crazy.
Yeah. I don't have a disposition, I think, for marathons of any kind. Certainly the running kind, but absolutely not the running kind. I've often said, and I'll say it again, if I were being chased, I would rather die. Like, I just have no interest in running for my life. I'm just not going to do it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to my children when I get mauled by a bear someday, but
I won't do it. And you know how you want to live.
And I know what I'm about. But I don't think I have the disposition for marathons of any kind because unlike my husband, I am not a very competitive person.
Same.
So when I no longer just have a motivation within myself to be like, oh, this is fun and interesting, I'll do this. Like, I will walk away from anything at any point. Like, I will be 3/4 of the way done with a scarf and I will just never touch it again. Like, if I'm just not getting that dopamine hit, it's very easy for me to walk away from things.
I think that in a way you are freer than those of us who are competitive because maybe. The competition is a shackle in itself.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? Anywho.
Anywho. Now that we've talked about our baser ways of being.
Yeah.
But oh my God, Al, you told me this and I was like, what is this episode? Are we just going to talk about Gilmore Girls during this episode? And there's so much there.
And you know me, I would.
And it's so fucked up. I'm horrified. So it's crazy.
It's terrible. It's terrible. I'm glad they're not happening anymore. But I do like the aesthetic of a dance marathon.
Yeah, again, like, I think if you're doing, like, an overnight to raise money for the JDRF, great.
I think I don't even like that so much as, like, I would wear a really cute outfit.
Yes.
I agree with you that I don't want to do a little 40s themed. My brother did a marathon, and it was amazing, and we were all so proud of him, and we went to Chicago to see him run the Chicago Marathon, and I was watching him run, and I was watching all these people run, and I just kept saying to myself, why are you doing this?
Yeah, why would you want to
Why in God's name are you doing this? Who made you do this?
I know.
Some people are just built different.
Yeah. Well, some people get, like... Some people are inspired that way. Like, they get motivation from, like, I'm going to, like, do a personal best. I'm going to, like, show the power of what my body can really do.
God, why?
And that's great, but I've never been interested in what my body can really do.
Same. Oh, God, same.
And I wish I was, and I'm not.
I don't want to know.
Yeah, we're good.
I feel like I'd be disappointed.
My body and I, we can just kind of cruise. We're on cruise control, me and my body.
We're on cruise control over here.
We are set to jet. And by jet, I mean sit the fuck down.
100% true. That's so inspiring, Sam.
Thank you so much.
You're so inspiring to me.
Thank you. Sam, and if you guys are interested in the sitting contest, please hit me up.
Let's talk about a sitting contest. Sam, we have some business to attend to with the people. As we sign off. So, how do I put this?
We started this podcast many years ago. And at the time... And I think still now partially, but at the time there was a behemoth in Two Women Talking to Each Other podcasts.
Right.
And that behemoth, you can probably say it with me, is and was My Favorite Murder.
Yep. Seminal podcast.
Which we were big fans of at the time, for sure.
Oh, yeah. And it I think it launched a million podcasts, including ours.
Yes. Well, again, in the genre of Two Women Talking, I think every podcast that came out in 2017 or 2018 that was two women talking was because they really liked My Favorite Murder.
Oh, like, 100%.
Not to simplify, but I do think
100%.
That's true.
And I think most podcasters would admit that.
Yeah.
But so when we started this podcast for fun, started saying Stay Horrified as like an homage, wink and nod, inside joke. That we were copying My Favorite Murder.
Yes.
And I think now we've gotten so far. We're 100 episodes deep. So this is a little late.
Yeah.
I will say.
Yeah.
We're deep in it now. But we're realizing that we never clarified.
Yeah.
Why, like, the fact that that's very obviously.
Yes.
The My Favorite Murder sign-off.
In reference to.
And so it's sort of skidding into plagiarism territory.
Yeah.
And so we were talking and we were like, you know what? We need to fix this.
Yes.
We need a new sign-off. So I'm so sorry to spring this on you guys. Yes.
And you should stay horrified. I mean, I still think that's true.
I think, you know, take that message forward, mm-hmm. for sure. But we need to bid you farewell in a new way. And we wanted to start that now.
Yes. And I'll say this. I like this new one that we've pitched to each other. But maybe in a few episodes we'll mix it up again. We'll see how we're feeling.
We'll see how we're feeling.
This is a time of experimentation.
I feel good about this one.
I do like this one too.
And I think it's also a reference to, we release on Tuesdays now.
Yes.
So that's going to be very important.
Yes. We can never change our release now.
And we can't. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it's going to be like, oh, it's going to be a Wednesday release. No, we're going to have to go back in.
It's got to be Tuesdays.
And re-edit it. And it's not going to work, Sam.
No.
I don't know why I'm saying that. Sam is always fantastic about editing and uploading this podcast.
I mean, you say that. We'll see.
I guess we will see.
We'll see.
I guess we'll see, Sam.
But we'll see next week. And until next week, bye-bye, horror honeys.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
I'm Horrified is a Hemlock Creatives production, recorded and produced by us, Sam Bierstow and Allie Gavin, in Boston, Massachusetts. Our art is by Leah Brilliard and Allie Gavin. You can find us on Twitter at I'm Horrified Pod and at I'mHorrifiedPodcast.com. And you can tell us what horrifies you at I'mHorrifiedPodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to support us directly on Patreon, you can get our podcast early and ad-free, as well as bonus episodes of our members-only minicasts, I'm Thrilled! Check us out at patreon.com/I'm Horrified. And if you liked hanging out with us, tell your friends, share us on your socials, and leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. Thanks for stopping by, Horror Honeys.